Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, welcome to a Couch GM live podcast. We're joined by the Mariner Mojo crew and Colton and Joe. So first off, Colton and Joe, really appreciate you taking the time tonight.
Yeah, man, really appreciate you having us on.
Of course.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's just start off live reaction. Jared Kelnick was on a show today, had a solid 20-minute piece interview. What are your initial thoughts with what he had to say?
So I think a lot of people were a little more, I guess, I don't want to say aggressive with it, but they had a little bit more to say about it than I did. I mean, I don't disagree with him personally, like the whole 54% comment, you know, the prime Babe Ruth. Is he maybe, from my opinion, he is, I mean, he's in the clubhouse. None of us are. So we don't necessarily know how guys are actually reacting to it, where he, you know, kind of gets to hear. Maybe guys were talking in the clubhouse about the prime Babe Ruth comment. The 54% comment, it's like, well, that was after the season. That was, you know, whatever. But guys still talk. So there's got to be something there. But I think it's all just blown out of proportion. I mean, he made the comment and we were all mad about the 54% comment too. So it's like, if we're mad about it, I'm sure they're pissed off about it too. But, you know, what are you going to do? So the whole thing, yes, he had a problem as well. Him kicking the cooler was, you know, obviously his own little distraction midseason. So I don't know. The whole thing, I'm just like, in my opinion, it's just a whole lot of nothing. But Joe, what do you think?
It's just interesting. Like, videos that you made in the offseason leading up to the year is like Kelnick's last chance, and like I made a video like fans need to stop disrespecting Jared Kelnick, because like as soon as he got injured, everyone's like, oh thank gosh, like now he's not going to be on the team, he's a clubhouse cancer, stuff like that. And then on foul territory today, it just, I don't want to say it rekindled any of those emotions or any of those feelings that we had, but to me it kind of signaled that yes, he's matured, but like maybe not as much as like we had all hoped in a certain sense. But also like he has no issue with like being pretty open about it as far as I'm concerned, and whether that's a level of maturity from him or like he's just in a new scenery and he just kind of wants to leave that, like get that out of the way and like leave it behind him, that's totally like fine with me. I still have my Kelnick jersey up in the background because he was my guy for a while, and I don't know, it was a weird day just because I like Colton, I don't necessarily disagree with what he said, but also in the same vein, like as soon as those comments were made from DePoto about like prime Babe Ruth, they started winning. And you know, whether that's happenstance, it's completely, you know, out of the blue, like it's not like causation without correlation or whatever. I don't know. I see comments made about the same subjects from like guys like Paul Sewald and Cal Raleigh, and there's definitely a different air to their comments compared to what Jared was saying today. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And I mean, you know, him being in Atlanta now with that stacked lineup, if the Braves are able to get a prime Kelnick in the bottom half of their lineup, that's just going to be insane. And he was saying that he's really excited to be teammates with Matt Olson, who slugged like 50 home runs last year. So If he can unlock something and play up to his potential, that'd be insane. But yeah, I mean, you've been able to see his progression from when he first entered the big leagues to now, you know, even though he did kick a cooler late in the season and there's still those issues, you've seen that he really has been able to mature a decent amount just looking at him on the field, his reaction to certain things. But yeah, really hope he wish him the best and hope to see where he goes. So
yeah, like you said, him in the Braves lineup is going to be crazy if he figures it all out. If he's like early, like start of the season Jared Kelnick in the Braves lineup, that team's winning, that they're breaking the record, man. 117 games. Let's see it.
Ready to pencil it in.
Yeah. Well, cool. To all of you tuning in, thank you for joining us. Again, this is the Mariner Mojo crew. If you're on TikTok, go join us on the YouTube live. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to Mariner Mojo. They're getting close to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. Wanted to bring you guys on to talk some Mariners baseball, but also to get to know you guys. And, you know, like the tweet that I shared the other day when I had Locked On Mariners guys on, you know, this Seattle, you know, creators community is pretty cool and it's really growing. So wanted to have you guys on, hear your story, how you got started with Mariner Mojo. So if you guys want to take it and kind of go through your background with who you are, where you came from, how you got into sports and what that looks like.
You want me to start, Joe?
I mean, you created the channel, so the rain, it's all yours, buddy.
All right. So first and foremost, we want to thank, you know, Locked On and Ty and all them for saying, you know, all those kind words about us. It's been an interesting journey because I had worked with Ty and Colby prior to all of us starting our channels. And we had written together for Soto Mojo back in the day. And it was really cool to see because when they launched their Patreon, they launched the True to the Trident, right? No. Yeah, True to the Trident. They launched their
Control the Zone.
Yeah. And then the podcast was True to the Trident. I don't remember exactly what it was. But their Patreon was really cool. I subscribed to it for like the first year or so that it was around. And I was like, it's just really cool to see these guys kind of, you know, get into this medium. And for Joe and I specifically, we had both made YouTube channels before. I had tried making a million different YouTube channels that none of them really stuck. There was never something that I was super passionate about. The one that did the best, I made a Call of Duty Zombies YouTube channel.
No.
This was like Black Ops, or not even Black, like Cold War, like more recent, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then Joe was doing Rocket League and Pokemon. We both had a couple thousand subs on our channels. We were making a little bit of money here and there, but you know, it's just we weren't really that passionate about it. And so, towards the end of 2022, it was August of 2022. The Mariners were, you know, in the playoff hunt. And I was like, God, I just want to talk about the Seattle Mariners in some way, shape, or form. And I didn't really have a way to do that anymore. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make a YouTube video. And the first one I made was about Jesse Winker. I called it the Seattle Mariners Missing Wink. All right. That's what I called it. Like the missing, like it was so cringy, but I made it, you know, and then had a lot of fun doing it. It wasn't the greatest video of all time, but then a few days later I had made a video about, it was a game in Los Angeles against the Angels, where the Angels made like five errors in the inning. Like there was like a throwing error and just terrible. Yeah. You remember that game? Yeah. And then the way the game ended was like Joe Adell, like half swung, got hit in the wrist, but it was a called strike three. And it was this whole thing. So I made a video about that. It blew up. It got like 200 something thousand views. It did really well. And Joe had been subscribed to what that channel had used to be. It used to be a Yu-Gi-Oh card opening channel. True story. And then I'm laying it all out on the line, Joe. Yu-Gi-Oh card opening channel. Then I made like something about a baseball analytics channel. And finally that. So then he's like, what the heck is this? And yeah, that's kind of what launched us into it. Joe, tell him a little bit about your way in, if you will.
My origins?
Your origins.
Okay. So I will say I noticed the first video. I noticed the missing wink video. I didn't hop on after the big pop off. Okay. It wasn't like I'm just there to, you know, ride the train, but I noticed the first couple. And like Colton and I, we've been best friends since we were like in sixth grade. And I'm gonna claim that I got you more into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make that claim. I'd always been a big sports guy growing up, and we played baseball together, but Colton wasn't super into just like watching baseball like super hardcore. He was more of like a casual guy up until like the end of middle school, and then we did like a fantasy baseball draft, and then after that it just snowballed, and we've just been, you know, locked in ever since. And for the channel itself, I was making, like Colton was saying, I was doing Rocket League and Pokemon for a while as more of like a my own creative thing. And then I transitioned to more of like a news reporting style channel about Rocket League esports. And so I was kind of doing like a sports coverage channel, just it was about Rocket League. So it was a little bit different than what we're doing now, obviously. But I was always super into like SportsCenter, ESPN, like news reporting, journalism, stuff like that. And then I saw a Mariner video pop up in my sub box, and I was like, what the heck is this? And I immediately recognized Colton's voice because it's like, duh. And I texted him like, oh, this is
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's like sick. Like, this is super cool. And, you know, you made a couple more. And I was feeling pretty stale, burnt out with Rocket League content at the time. And so, you know, it was after the big video where I asked him if I wanted to join, but I had been aware of the channel beforehand. Okay. And so the first thing that I made was a video breaking down Luis Castillo, the acquisition of Luis Castillo. That was my like introduction solo to the channel. There was a video that we did together about September call-ups last year, or not last year. Oh, it's been a long time. 2 years ago at this point. And that was kind of like my soft launch on the channel. And ever since then, we just kind of have been going back and forth, making videos. We started the podcast, we do live streams, just everything in between. We've just been kind of hammering away at for a year and a half now.
So it's only been since mid 2022.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mid 2022 is when we started the channel. Yep.
Yeah. That's wild. And now you guys are, pumping out content left and right. Is it your goal to put out a video a day?
No, not necessarily. it just depends on the amount, like, you know, what's going on. Like, if there's a lot going on, then sure. We do two podcasts a week, so that takes up 2 days. And then in season, we'll pump out a few more videos just because, you know, there's actually stuff happening.
Yeah.
Right now, we're probably doing the two, maybe like four videos a week. We're doing two podcasts and then like an extra edited, kind of highly edited video here, an extra highly edited video there. Every now and again, Joe gets on and makes a short or something.
Yeah, shorts merchant.
Big shorts merchant Joe. And then then the live stream as well. So at least 3 days a week we have like scheduled things, and then it's just kind of sprinkling in the edited videos here and there right now, just for whatever there is to talk about.
Yeah, awesome. So how did you come up with the name Mirror Mojo and like branding and all that stuff?
All right. We're really getting into the deep lore, Connor. Okay, so here's how it goes. So I was sitting here. Back in the day, I had made a Facebook, like back when Facebook pages were all the rage. And I was talking about the Mariners, and I just really liked the idea of making it like two of the same letters to start the word, you know, Mariners, Mariner Mojo, right?
Yeah.
And on Facebook, I made Mariners Marks. I don't really know what that means, but that's where I was on there. I was typing out. Oh, and then I also had one called MLB News at one point. And so I'm like trying to think, I'm racking my brain. Mariner Mark. Do I want to do Mariners Mark? No. Mariners what? And then I, you know, my time when I wrote for Soto Mojo back in the day, I'm like, okay, Soto Mojo, you know, it has some deep lore with the team. Okay, Mariner Mojo. I didn't put the S at the end. I just thought it sounded weird. And everyone always still calls us Mariners Mojo. It happens. But Joe questioned me about it. And I was like, I don't know.
The first thing I asked him, like, why no S from on the end of Mariners Mojo? But
and the original art for the channel art, let me tell you, my graphic design is very clearly my passion. I just really put my heart and soul into it. It was like two different Mariner logos over each other, kind of how it is now, but I am terrible at it. And so I had it just, you could, there was like a square in the corner that just stuck out, and it was ugly, man. And then finally we had gone on to Fiverr, and you know, they made something for us. We didn't realize when they made it for us that they actually had put Coors Field in the background of our banner. We didn't realize that at first. And then then Joe brought it up. I was like, oh my gosh.
I didn't even bring it up. Someone commented because
we posted it.
A community tab post, like new branding, whatever. And then someone's like, yeah, it'd be really cool, but that's Coors Field. And we had no idea like when we received it. And so I think we went on with that for a month because I hadn't had the time to try and fix it. I'm the more graphically design person inclined. I do the majority of the graphics if there's time to do them. And so I had to just kind of remove the original, like that's still the original branding that we got from Fiverr. It's just, I had to like remove it and put it on to T-Mobile. And I tried to keep a similar like blue vibe, like a hue on it. And I mean, when you first kind of came to me about like wanting to rebrand or like get some updated graphics, it was the 2022 theme was that yellow spray painted, like kind of like alleyway, like spray paint tagging kind of design. And that's what you wanted to go with for the original banner and like still with the logo. So it's got like that yellow like drip. It's just, it's not as good because I had to cut some of it out while I was removing it off of the Coors Field background, unfortunately. But and we, you know, haven't really updated it since. I've made a couple different like badges for like stream badges and different like things over like for layout purposes or whatever, just like having a corner or something like that along the way. But yeah, it's been basically the same logo since like what, like
I don't know. It was maybe we did
March.
It, yeah, it was right before the 2023 season. Yeah,
yeah.
Connor, I have one more thing of lore that I have to tell you, and I feel like this is the perfect time. So for the All-Star game, okay, I was walking in through the gates, center field gates, and there was a guy there. I don't know who he was. He was wearing a Stitch God jersey. He had like a big fancy camera, and he sees me. He's like, "Oh my gosh, you're the guy from YouTube!" And he's like filming me and whatnot. I'm like, "Hey man, how's it going?" He's like, "Yeah, you're Couch GM, right?" I'm like, close. <That's awesome. laughs> it was the funniest thing. I was like, you're close. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I am on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm always super interested to hear like the behind the scenes. So what's your process like as far as, you know, collaborating on getting info and figuring out what kind of videos you're going to make and topics and all that? Do you guys share it back and forth and it's like, hey, you go for it this time, because you know I see that one of you guys will make a video and then another will make a video, so what does that all look like?
Joe?
It just kind of depends like the like how we're feeling that week. Like I felt inspired to make a video that was similar to one we made last offseason, just like ranking the Mariners against the AL West, like every single position, like how they stack up against the rest of the AL West at that position, and I just felt inclined to make it the other night, so I just kind of started throwing it all together and put it out. Was that Tuesday morning? Yeah. Tuesday afternoon at 12. And I texted Colton about it that night. Like, hey, I'm doing this, send. So like we communicate about if we're making something, so we don't like double upload, cause that would be a problem. But normally it's like, if something happens, like for the Mitch Garver thing, I was about to have, cause it was on Christmas Eve, I was about to have guests over. As within like 5 minutes of the trade happening, they were going to be arriving. So I just had to make a short really quick. And I was like, hey, Colton, can you make the big video? And he was getting off work about like a half hour, 45 minutes after that. So when big news happens, if one of us is available, just kind of go straight to it. Like I was out doing groceries. Like I was grocery shopping when Gino got traded and Colton had to make the video about that really quick. So it's nice having someone there, like a second person, because if that were to happen and I was solo, I'm just going to be recording a video in my car, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if it happens, it happens. Like it is what it is. But normally we will communicate, I'd say within like 24 hours of a video going out, like, hey, like we're doing this, hey, we're doing that. But it is kind of impulsive. Like it's on the fly sometimes. And same thing with like the podcast, like, especially in the lulls of the off season, we'll like, Colton will turn on his camera like, so what are we talking about today?
Yep.
Like, what are we talking about? And we're trying to like put stuff together, like trying to like get ideas flowing. And we had like a living document, like in a shared Google Drive where we type it out every week. And with nothing really like happening super frequently this offseason, it's been very infrequent, hit or miss. We just kind of have gone like on the fly. Like when we hop in the call, we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we'll go from there and hopefully we get to about 25 to 30 minutes. That's kind of our range we like to stay in for the podcast. And we used to do a bit more like together videos that were highly edited. Definitely can get back to that more. It's just
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The time with things, like I'm still in school, so I've got school going on, and like we both have work. So there's just like sometimes the schedules don't line up. So when we do have time together, it's normally for the podcast and then like some members only content we've been recording more so recently that we've trying to get more involved with heading into 2024. So
yeah.
And anything you want to add on?
Having, you know, like Joe said, having that other person, it just makes it so much better. And we've known each other, you know, like he said, since sixth grade. So we kind of know how to play off each other's strengths and like how the other person's going to react to what we're, you know, I say a joke, I know Joe's going to get it like immediately, you know, whereas most people might not, but Joe will get it. Or like I'm talking about something, I have a feeling, I like, we know when to kind of bounce off of each other, different ideas and whatnot. For the most part, every now and again during the podcast, you know, if you guys ever become members on the podcast, you'll see the blooper reels. you know, sometimes we just mess everything up, but you know, it's, and we're lucky that we have not double uploaded something. Cause sometimes we just make stuff and it just, we just, you know, throw it up. We're like, hey, like that day, hey, in 10 minutes, this video is going live. I spent 3 hours editing it. Good luck.
Yeah. Right. Like, so. Oh, so, yeah. That'd be, yeah. Cause both of you spend like 3 hours making a video on the same thing.
And then it's yeah. Like, just a nightmare situation.
What do we do?
Yeah. And it's definitely one of those things where when there's breaking news, it's like, you know, that a video is going to take a few hours to make. So it's like, all right, am I going to sit down and commit the time to bust this video out? Or do I just do a little green screen TikTok with a article in the background? And like yep. You mentioned with the short for breaking news. So it's always finding that balance. And then what do you guys do for your careers? If you don't mind me asking, kind of what you do when you're not working on the channel.
Career is a strong term. I just yeah. work in a grocery store. I'm the furniture yeah. guy at a grocery store. So yeah, I definitely not a, I wouldn't necessarily call it a career, but I was able, after starting the channel, I was able to go down in hours. So I would have more time to do, you know, this and less time. I wouldn't have to be there so much. So that's been nice. But overall, yeah, this is kind of my main focus, is growing this as best as we can. But I still have the other, you know, so I'll call it my side gig, you know, at the store yeah, sure. to give me some of that supplemental income.
And I am a supervisor at Starbucks. I've been with the company for 8 years, going on February, I'll be there with 8 years. So finishing up school through ASU Online, which Starbucks pays for. So right, like, that'll be kind of that. I'm not sure career-wise afterwards. My degree is in like online marketing. And so hopefully there's something out there that I can kind of get involved with post-graduation. But with my tenure at Starbucks, the wage that I have, maybe I won't be able to get entry level with my like degree job that would be equal to it. I'm not certain with like how the market will look, but that's kind of where I'm heading post Starbucks and post graduation. But as for right now, yeah, I am making lattes.
Awesome. were you at the one that that Ty France and JP were at?
I no. So I'm in California actually, but
okay.
I'm sure I have been to the one that Ty and JP were at though.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, so getting into a bit of like, is there a most memorable moment that you guys have with the channel so far, or a moment towards like, hey, this is pretty cool what we're doing? Was it that second video that you made with the Angels towards like, this is kind of blowing up?
That was definitely the one that like, I was like, whoa. Like, cause like I said, I've done YouTube before. I've never had a video go that crazy. Like I had on the old Call of Duty Zombies channel, I think my most was like 64K or something like that. And that was like, you know, one video over like the 2-3 years I had done it. But yeah, that Angels video was absolutely insane. Another one is we were doing shorts quite a bit last off season. And then we did one about Ken Griffey Jr.'s first and last hit. And that one, I think, is probably getting close to 700K now.
It's at 655.
Yeah, so yeah. That was pretty cool. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like, honestly, it's just the community. You know, we've met. I think the thing that we think is the coolest is like, Joe and I went to a game together last year, and we just had people coming up to us, you know, and talking to us. And it was just such a surreal experience. Like we had a whole Mariner Mojo get together out in the J-Rod squad. And, you know, some people came and sat with us out there and we were hanging out with them, but then other people that we would see just around the stadium. It's like, that's one of those moments, you know, where you walk around the stadium. Yeah. Right. People are like, Mojo, Colton. I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Like I used to come to games and nobody knew who I was. And I, not that like, you know, everyone there knows who I am, but it's still, it's just like so weird to just walk around anywhere and have someone walk up to you and shake your hand. And it's like, even at work, people have started to recognize me. And I'm like, whoa,
really?
I'm like, don't tell anyone I work here, please. This is weird. Yeah.
I think mine is probably, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Connor. Sorry.
Oh no, it's all you.
I was just going to say same thing. Like I live in California. I go to A's games when I can, when the Mariners are in town, and someone came up to me at the end of an A's game. So like getting recognized outside of T-Mobile was like just crazy. Shout out my guy, Roman, came up to me and said like, hey, like I watch your videos all the time. It was just super. It was super cool.
This picture's down there. You and Roman are down there.
Yeah, very cool.
Do you guys have the custom Mariner Mojo jerseys yet?
No, we've talked about that, actually, haven't we, Joe?
Yeah, we didn't fully commit to it because we didn't know if we wanted like what number we'd want to do on it, like if we would want to do like the year we, like the channel was made, so like 22, and just put like Mojo on the back. Like we had talked about it, but not like really kind of like settled on a decision there.
Maybe do a little Stitch God, you know, like old school Trident throwback jersey.
Could be nice. Could be nice.
Yeah. Mariner on one, Mojo on the other, and then 2022 or what have
you. Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Like a been together since.
Yeah. Kind of jersey. Since, yeah. That's
awesome. Well, cool. So now getting into this offseason with the Mariners, I mean, what are your guys' initial thoughts so far on how things have panned out? You know, it's kind of a tale of two halves for the offseason so far, the teardown and then the build back up. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the start to this offseason, and, you know, I mean, it's, I think starting with the Geno trade, it really just, man, that just took all the wind out of my sails. I'm usually a pretty positive person when it comes to the Seattle Mariners and, you know, where things are going. But that just, like, it tanked me, man. And then with the Kelnick trade coming, like, a week or so after that, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, what are they doing? And now, obviously, you know, as Joe Doyle would say, you know, cake half-baked or whatever, fully baked the cake or whatever it was he said. And was it Joe Doyle? Yeah, it was Joe Doyle, right, Joe? Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, like, so I was pretty negative. I was feeling pretty negative, you know, as offseason was going on, still putting out, you know, most positive stuff I could with due to the circumstances. But now that they've added, you know, Mitch Garver and, you know, Mitch Haniger's back and whatnot, and Luke Raley, I think that it's pretty clear to see what their plan is now. Not necessarily super clear, but this team is more projectable, in my opinion, than it was last offseason, simply because you now have options. Like, if you need to, Luke Raley can go play first base for you. Like, last year it was Tommy La Stella. I'm like, no, that's not projectable. You know, AJ Pollock's your guy in left field with a very unknown Jared Kelnick. No. So I think just the ability that the Mariners now have to move guys around, and even with, you know, the uncertainty of how many games Mitch Haniger and Mitch Garver are going to play, which obviously, you know, there are valid criticisms there saying, hey, these guys are not going to play in over 100 games or what have you.
And Arias with his injury concern.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but now, I guess maybe minus Arias, you have guys that you can move into those positions. Maybe you can move Rojas over there and then Dylan Moore plays second. I don't know. I still think they need one more bat.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't love to see that. Hi, James. Nice. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I personally think that this team is one bat away from being better than it was at the end of 2023. I already think that this team is better today than it was opening day of 2023. The opening day roster was terrible. And the opening day lineup, Tommy La Stella, AJ Pollock, like Colton Wong, all being part of it, terrible.
I think there's hope, right? There's hope that it can be better, but I mean, they are still, I think, a bat away in the infield, like you're saying, like whoever that is at second base or third base. But the offseason, it has been, yeah, like a roller coaster. I would hope that people are feeling more optimistic about it than they were, you know, say a month's time ago. But there's still that crowd where I want to say there's no faith in like the guys that they've brought in, but there's valid, I think, criticisms and just like uncertainty. I just, for me, if I'm going to root for the team, I don't want to have those uncertainties. So I just completely just omit them from my brain, which could be, you know, very irresponsible on my part as a fan. But why can't Mitch Garver play in 120, 130 games? Why can't Mitch Haniger give us 100 games? Like, why not? And, you know, until that proves me, you know, wrong, which I think there's a high probability that it could, then, you know, I can eat my own foot. But until then, I'm rooting hard.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with Mariners, being a Mariners fan, there's really two types. There's the pessimists and then the optimists. And I'm always an optimist, kind of like you are, Joe, to where it's like, okay, this doesn't look good and it doesn't feel good necessarily, but the deeper I dig into this, you know, with like Mitch Garver, pretty much all of his injuries in the past were due to the fact that he was playing the catching position, mm-hmm. aside from one. You know, Mitch Haniger, he had the flukiest of injuries throughout his time in Seattle. And he had a 3,900 season in 2021, I believe.
Yep.
There's all these reasons to why this could be a solid team, but it's like, this is the 5-year period, the 3 to 5-year period to where they have this core. You need to go all in. and do all that you can to be a true contender instead of just playing for the wild card. But yeah, so I mean, what move this offseason, I guess, what are your thoughts on the Robbie Ray trade? Because I'm kind of surprised that, you know, the Giants were willing to take on Robbie Ray's contract after this injury and, you know, getting back Haniger. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that that trade, it really surprised me because I like, you know, Ty Dane Gonzalez, for example, he had posted, you know, hey, we're waiting to record the podcast. Joe and I were both at work. I was at work. Joe, you were at work too, right?
I was at work, yes.
We were both at work and I saw that tweet. And I'm like, oh goodness. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And then I saw what the deal was, and it was Robbie Ray for Mitch and obviously Anthony DeSclafani. And I'm like at work trying to scroll through the contract details and all these things. And I'm like, you know, so I don't know. I think that overall the trade itself fills some holes for both teams. The Giants potentially get a Cy Young contender, potentially, whereas the Mariners get, you know, a guy who can play right field, hopefully, ideally, you know, and a guy who can be a swingman in Anthony DeSclafani. And if you need him to be your number five, it's not the worst. Like, he's not the worst guy in the world to be your number five. And basically, you, if you're just thinking DeSclafani and Robbie Ray, well, one of them's going to pitch at the start of this year. The other one's not. So, like, right there, Anthony DeSclafani is more valuable than Robbie Ray. And the Mariners shed some payroll in the 2025 contract. So if they want to do a backloaded contract somewhere along the rest of the offseason, they can. I'm not saying they will. So overall, I think that it was a good trade on both sides. I think it could end up being a win-win on both sides. I think it could also easily end up being a lose-lose on both sides. But anytime you bring in Mitch Haniger back to the Seattle Mariners, it's a win in my book. Like, there is no world where bringing Mitch Haniger back is a bad idea, in my opinion. And so the Mariners have him, you know, and DeSclafani is a free agent at the end of this year. They could still try to trade his contract. Joe and I talked about that a little bit for the podcast as well. So is Mitch Haniger the guy in right field? Maybe. And did you give up, you know, Robbie Ray for the next 2-3 years because of it? Yeah. But when you look at your starting rotation, where does Robbie Ray fit in if you keep all these guys? I'm not really sure.
That was
now.
One...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Connor. I was going to say, Connor, that was one where you went live that day, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the situation you're talking about, like making a video versus like going live and getting the immediate reaction. Like, how was that for you and like your community? Just like kind of like trying to like figure out like the nuance of the trade, like Colton saying, he's just scrolling. Like, how is it for you just like being able to kind of like talk it through with some people, maybe level-headed, maybe not, but just kind of like going into that?
Yeah, the first live that I did, at least when there was a big move like that, was the Kelnick trade. And It's like I'm just hitting live, I'm looking at the tweets, okay, like, you know, welcome to the live, I'm trying to figure this out as you guys are also. And then I'm just trying to process it live. And of course, there's the emotional and initial reaction as a fan. Like, we really just traded Kelnick and Marco and Evan White, all these guys, and trying to figure out what's going on. And all they got back was like a reliever, basically.
Yeah.
And then the Robbie Ray trade. Yeah, I went live for that one. And initially, you know, I had negative thoughts on the Robbie Ray trade. But then the more you think about it, the more you look into it, they took on his entire contract, all these different things. It starts to make more sense. But it's definitely fun to go live, to be able to live react with people that are followers of you also, and to be able to connect and like kind of share that time is pretty cool. But yeah, it's definitely like you have to let yourself be emotional for a second. And then just, I'm definitely an analytical guy to where I dig into the details and try to figure out what the 4D chess move is, you know, when other teams are playing checkers. So yeah,
I think like the Robbie Ray contract was just something I never imagined being off Mariners payroll. Like, that's like the big thing that just like was a hang up for me, like trying to figure out how that would like come back, like just how it all worked with when that trade dropped. I was like, why would the Giants take on the entire contract? And sure, like, you know, getting Haniger and DeSclafani off, it ended up being neutral money because for some odd reason the Giants sent us money in that, thank God. But it was just one of those situations, like going into like the day the season ended in 2023, I was like, okay, Robbie Ray will be a Mariner and pitching for us by like post All-Star break. Never in a million years would I have like thought that trading Robbie Ray would be on the offseason bingo card at any point.
Right. And it's like, that's where you get into the ideas of, do we actually trade Luis Castillo? But then it's like Robbie, because you don't think that they were going to be able to trade Robbie Ray with his injury and his contract and all those things. So the fact that they were able to offload that, assuming that they go out and spend that money that they saved, it could potentially be a good move.
Yeah.
Keyword is potentially there. Yeah. As if right. they actually go out and do something with it.
And thank you to John for the super chat here. He says, I think we have to be realistic. We're an 85 win if we're healthy, but I think that we need to be honest. There's no way everyone we've acquired makes it in an entire season. This team isn't better than third. There's definitely truth to that because all these guys do have the legit injury concerns. Mm-hmm. But that's where it's like the offseason's not over yet. There's still free agents out there. There's still room for moves to happen.
So many still. It's weird. It's weird that we're this deep and there's still like premier guys like out mm-hmm. on the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you guys think realistically the Mariners might go after?
As a free agent?
Yeah. If any.
Goodness, that's a tough question.
I like Donovan Solano. That was a guy that I included in a video I think I made earlier on in the offseason about like different position profiles, like where the Mariners could upgrade and given like three different options or like four or five different options for guys like in different tiers. And Donovan Solano, he's not a sexy pick by any means. He's just going to go out there and maybe hit 280 for you. And
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Going to spot it first, second, or third. He's not going to hit for a ton of power. It's not great by any means. But if they don't find a trade that they like for, say, like a Jorge Polanco or some other infield upgrade there, I would say Donovan Solano is more valuable to you than, say, Sam Haggerty could be, but that's in like the same vein of like saying like Whit Merrifield probably. Mm-hmm. It's just where we see the Mariners actually going. Like I don't see them going after Matt Chapman. So like taking a step down, who's the next guy there? And I liked Solano's profile when I went over it like a while ago.
Yeah. I think that when I'm looking at the free agents that are left, I mean, a lot of guys don't really make sense anymore. The Justin Turner's, in my opinion, the JD Martinez's, Jorge Soler doesn't make sense anymore, in my opinion. Unless you really like the idea of playing him in the outfield, but that just adds to guys getting hurt because he always gets hurt when he's playing in the outfield all the time. So it's tough to say that like who it could really be. I think Brandon Belt could make some sense, but the strikeout right there, you know.
Is he retiring?
Is he? I don't know.
I could just be spreading rumors.
You're just saying breaking news right now.
Well, Brandon Belt retiring. as a closeted Giants fan, all right, Brandon Belt has always held a near and dear place in my heart. So
that's fair. Yeah. Merrifield, like Pikachu said, Merrifield, I think would be, you know, it's a good fit. I think that his, like an addition of him, putting him at second base on an almost everyday basis and then putting Rojas and Urias at third does make a lot of sense in my opinion. Because I would prefer, and I think a lot of people would, Rojas and Urias as a platoon. Merrifield is the guy you put at the bottom of your lineup, and he's going to give you decent production down there. So I don't know. I don't really know. I guess I'll go Merrifield just because. Yeah. I guess like I don't really have a really good feel for who it could be.
The thing that really makes me think that Merrifield won't is because I saw an interview of him at the winter meetings, and he was saying that he wants to be batting first or second for a team.
Mm.
Why? Yeah,
which is like,
I mean, not why, you know, it's his own personal preference, but like what team's going to bat Whit Merrifield first or second? Like, is he signing in Oakland?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I don't know where he's going to be going for that.
That is a stretch.
And then Mariners access comments, Justin Turner makes so much sense. I mean, if Justin Turner has some time left in the field at third base, that could be a good fit.
Yeah. I think that if you are okay with putting him at third base, then sure. I just don't know defensively if he's the guy you want there anymore. Mm-hmm. He's better suited for a DH in my opinion. Of course, you know, it does make sense. Justin Turner, if he can play third base for you, he is probably the best player for the cost that you can get over at third base for the rest of this offseason. But I just defensively, I just, especially coming off of the year Gino had defensively, that would be a major downgrade.
And Jake, you love to see it, says, not that I totally disagree as far as, you know, where the Mariners are at, but also have to understand that the Astros are a bit shaky right now. The Angels are the Angels. Texas is really the big fish right now. So the AL West is still up for the taking.
The Mariners have made the most moves of anybody in the American League West, and there's no question about it. And whether or not that's a good thing or not, I don't know. Yeah. It's a lot of roster churning. Is this team better now? Offensively, when you look at their processes, we'll have to wait and see. But this team theoretically should not strike out as much. It theoretically should hit for a bit more contact and be able to string runs together, string hits together. So is it better? Yes. In my opinion, yes. But with that being said, you don't have necessarily the star power that you have with Gino and Teo and the thumpers in the middle of your lineup that you had last year.
In this comment, thank you again, John, for the super chat. He says, we literally could have kept everyone, signed Garver and traded for Rosarena, and we would have been a better team than we are now. After that Mitch Garver signing, yeah, this is kind of what I thought. It's like, if you still had Kelnick, if you still had Gino, and then you just, you know, kind of signed Mitch Garver, that's a solid looking lineup. But they've done so much overhaul that there's still a ways to go. But
I would wonder like what the payroll would be like. As far as that goes, I know like that's not what anyone wants to talk about, but there's obvious reasons why they went out and had to dump payroll or salary and then sign Mitch Garver instead of like the moves like flipping. Like if they had signed Garver and then traded some of the pieces away, like how that would have, I think, skewed or changed like the offseason outlook for a lot of fans. But yeah, with Gino, Garver, and JK still in there, there's no way you can't say that's not a better lineup than you probably are putting out right now, just because like you're expecting Gino to not put up a 99 WRC plus. You're expecting him to get back to a little bit of what he once was, and then you're assuming Jared continues to grow because he's still young, has a bunch of potential, whereas like now you're banking on Luke Raley not being like a one-hit wonder and Luis Urias potentially having healthy legs for the first for the first time since in a year. So it's just like there's a lot of question marks. I get the uncertainty. It's just that's not my shtick.
Yeah. And I think that like the only one that I'm really removing all like feelings out of it, because obviously I love Gino. He's one of my favorite players, but removing all feelings from it, I think the only one that really would have made a difference sticking with the team would have been JK. I think that, you know, his upside is so vastly different than say Dom Canzone. I think that even Dom Canzone is like way much lower than JK in terms of his offensive production. But Gino, I mean, who's to say that, you know, he comes out next year any better than he was this year? Like he's getting older now, obviously. Yeah, he put together a great year defensively, but offensively there was some big holes in his swing in 2023. And I mean, just think about when I look at last year's team compared to this year's team, the thought of the strikeouts with, you know, no outs, bases loaded, and just Gino, Teo, and I don't know, Ty France striking out three in a row, it haunts my dreams, man. And so like those guys, two of the three of those guys being gone, I mean, hey, something had to change. And that's just a fact of the matter. Something had to change. And I get this is the route they decided to go. I'm not saying I necessarily agree that it's better. I'm just saying that, you know, something definitely had to change from 2023.
And in all reality, you know, JK did have 3 years up in the bigs to be able to try to adapt and show what he can do. It might be a change of scenery that helps him out there, but we'll have to see. A lot of comments about the Darren McCaughan. Is that how you say it?
Darren McCaughan, our guy.
Hey, Dara.
Future Cy Young or future ace. Yeah, future Cy Young. There we go.
Darren McCaughan. So that I'm going to give some lore for Mariner Mojo as well. It was our first or second live stream, I think. And I had never said his name out aloud. And I said McCaughan. And so Deidara, who's on the screen right now, he runs DJ Manny D095, whatever Twitter account, the Darren McCaughan Twitter account. And he's just big community member and super nice guy. And it's just a meme. Every single time we love Darren McCaughan.
Yep.
We think it's going to be Kirby, but it's.
Yeah, it's Darren McCaughan. He's like what, 30 now, Deidara, right? And yeah, he has the most strikeouts in Rainier's history, I believe. So, I mean, hey. You know, someone had to have it, and it's our guy, Darren Scott McCaughan.
That's awesome.
It's just a nice, like, break from some of the pessimism sometimes. You're just scrolling through some comments, and then you see Darren Scott McCaughan pop up, and it's like, nice.
Yeah, there's some other ones here.
There we go. Let's go. we've derailed.
Carlos Santana, what are you guys'? Let me see you in the pull back up. Carlos comes back.
All right, so let's give some more lore here.
More context.
So the rumor about the idea of Carlos Santana coming back came out the day before the Mitch Haniger and Luke Rayleigh trades. And I had made a video that night, the night of the rumor, and I was going to go out the next day at 12. Well, the trade for Mitch Haniger happened at 11:45, so I'm like, oh, got to stop that video. And I went home on my lunch that day from work and recorded just as quick of a video as I could. So then I just posted the Carlos Santana video today, like a week and a half later, because I'm like, I have this video. I edited it. I'm going to put it out. Why not?
The reception has been great.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better not to just put any video out. I'm like, sorry. I think that Santana coming back does make sense a little bit. You can put him at first base. I think if he's willing to take a bench role, it makes sense. I'd rather have him than Sam Haggerty when you already have guys like Urias and Rojas and Dylan Moore on your team. If he wants a starting job, he's not coming here. It just doesn't make sense. He could back up at first base for you if you need him to. He could be a good guy off the bench. And obviously we know that he is a good veteran presence, but otherwise I don't necessarily know how much value he would have to this team right now with the DH spot filled up and first base filled up other than a bench role.
I think you have to trade Ty France, but like, is that any better? Like what you get in a trade with Ty France coming back and then you then plug in like Santana and Rayleigh at first. Like I just, for me, like that rumor, unfortunately is kind of a dud now because of other moves that happened. And it's just poor timing from on our part and the Mariners making moves.
And do you really trade a Ty France that's coming off of a driveline offseason?
Never. Yeah. Praying on the bounce back.
All right, let's see here. John Snow, thank you again for a super chat. At this point, the only thing that'd make me happy is if we traded for Nualby. He could be our next A-Rod. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have Nualby at this point. But I think Divish was the one that mentioned, Adam Jude from MLB.com, I believe. But he was like, what if we traded Luis Castillo straight up for Nualby Marte and like one other guy? And I mean,
just get him back.
Bring that boy home. Jerry would totally do that. Just something completely out of left field. He won't do that. Oh, he did it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, again, like Nualby Marte was a guy that I saw the vision for before we traded him. And then, you know, you see the trade happen, like, okay, that makes sense. We'd have to go in a package for Luis Castillo. And seeing him on the Reds, yeah, it hurts, but I don't know if his upside, I mean, I could be wrong. His upside could be as high as A-Rod, but that's a pretty tall order, you know, tall ask to fill because, I mean, A-Rod put up like a 10-win season. Are we thinking Marte is going to put up a 10-win season with the Mariners? I don't know. But again, he's going to be a premier talent at third, maybe if he moves back to short, but I feel like he's just going to stick at third. I think he profiles out there a little bit better. But as far as like trading for him again, you can't go any less than, I feel like, the Reds would ask for Gilbert and above, but you don't do that trade if you're the Mariners, unless you're getting something else back. But
yeah, if I had to rank like all of the infielders that the Reds might give up, he's at the bottom. He's like the last one they give up, in my opinion, just because he has that.
Aside kind from of Ellie.
Yeah. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, you look at their numbers. I'm just saying, you know, last year I'd rather have Nualby, you know.
Ellie, he fell off pretty quick, but there's no chance that he doesn't rebound and like figure out like what was successful for him when he first came up. Cause it was lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. He just has to recapture it somehow.
Yeah.
Then Eddie says, didn't Ty France come up as a second and third base? I say you could start Ty and Urias at second or third and Santana at first. Yeah. Except Ty would have some work to do to be able to.
Some work is putting it lightly.
Yeah, he's
being very kind to Ty France there.
You don't want him at second or even third base at this point, folks. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah.
When Gino got hit, when did he get hit on the hand in 2022? It was like towards the end of the year, and then Ty had to go make like a random spot start at third. Yeah. Everyone was holding their breath. I feel like it was the most tense like time if just seeing him in the field at third base, it was like you'd seen a ghost. It did not feel right.
And with Ty, he's one of those guys, it's like you're borderline wanting him to be DH full time to keep him out of the line of fire, like he got hurt.
True, at Oakland, that is
at
true.
First base before.
Sheldon Noisy, I'm gonna fight him. I'm so mad about it still.
He's in Korea now, right?
Good.
Yeah, or is he in Japan? He's been one of the two.
He hasn't been in the MLB since 2022, I don't think. So good to know that he injured Ty France's wrist and then left. That's all he did. That's all he was good for the A's. Okay. That's all he was good for.
What a shame. Dang,
that's tough, man.
It's tough. Chaz McCormick's next.
So as of right now, how many wins do you guys think the Mariners are getting next year?
Joe, you're answering first.
87.
That's what
and a half. Yeah. I think that's their line. Genuinely, I think that's their line. But I'm going to say 87.
Right now, 85 and a half.
give you the under there. I think with the pitching, it's too good to be less than 500. And people saying right. less than 500, I just can't see it. Because like the pitching is unreal. And even right. when the offense was struggling last year, pitching was carrying us to wins or keeping us in the game. You know, there's some standout games like Kirby's complete game shutout of the Orioles on Felix Day, which is just poetic as hell. And other ones like that, you know, getting Felix left and right. But if we think that the Mariners have a more consistent offensive approach with the team that we have now, I can see, you know, getting close, like, you know, same win level, 88, you know, maybe pushing 90, but realistic, I'm going to say 87, just like because there's so many question marks. But what about you, Connor? Where are you sitting at?
Yeah, I'd probably say like I'll go in between you guys, 86 and a half.
There you go.
I mean, like you mentioned, the rotation is going to be top five in baseball again this year, mm-hmm. and it's surprising, you know, what a staff can do if they're performing. You know, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, you can't 100%. Rely on them to be able to throw 150, 200 innings next year. You know, they're all fresh. Brian Wu coming off of the surgery right before he got drafted. But that's where you have Desclafani that could potentially fill in some innings. You got Emerson Hancock ready to go. And it's promising that since they traded Robbie Ray, they didn't have to trade a Bryce Miller or Brian Wu. And they can now have that full staff. And that's their true strength. And I mean, look at the lineup one through five or six looks pretty solid now, in my opinion. You add in Mitch Garver, Mitch Haniger, Luke Raley. We'll see where he slots in, but now it's really just those last few spots in the lineup that you need to round it out with, you know, Arias and Rojas there. Those are the real two wild cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's wild cards throughout, but I'm high on Dominic Canzone. You look at his minor league numbers, he's batting like over 300 with really solid power. It's just a matter of him taking that next step, and this lineup, this offense might score more runs than you think also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think,
Oh, okay. I think that, yeah, one more addition. This team is one addition away from pushing 90 wins. In my opinion, I like top wild card spot. I think that is how close they are. And I'm not saying like a Colton Wong addition, you know,
please no,
don't bring back Tommy La Stella. That's not the addition I mean. Okay. But some sort of upgrade, even if it's just to this bench, but you can't with Sam Haggerty being the last guy on this roster. I think if you can replace him with somebody that has a little bit more projectability, I think that you are even Donovan Solano, like Joe said, I think that is an addition that raises the floor of this team to the point where they can be projected to make a run at this thing. Because with all the injuries that Texas has had, and I know Texas is a very good team, their bullpen still sucks. And their offense is insane, but is Jonah Heim going to run like a 5,000 slugging percentage next year again? I don't know. Like, they're still relying on a lot of those guys to continue what they did in 2023. What's Evan Carter next year? You know, he looked like he was, like Joe said earlier, lightning in a bottle, but I don't know if that carries over into 2024. You know,
Josh Young was a stud.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I think that Josh Young, and Joe said it in one of his video, I think today, that Josh Young's going to be the best third baseman in the American League West. I don't disagree with that. I think that overall, he is one of the better players in all of baseball. But you look at some of the guys on that team, and I just don't know if they can truly replicate what they did in 2023.
There's a lot of regression curve trend like that could hit that Texas team pretty hard. I would hope it's not I mean, I don't want to say I would hope because they're a division rival. You know, we're gonna be lumped into that group that is a secret Rangers fan by what I'm saying. But like Josh Jung is a guy that I'm super high on. I think he's, like you're saying, I think he's gonna project past Alex Bregman and take the crown of best third baseman in the American League West. But the question I was gonna ask before like you started going, Colton, was do you guys think Dom Canzone's role has completely just been like messed with the acquisition of Raley and Mitch? Because before it felt like, you know, he had a pretty solid spot. I mean, that's just because the personnel around him was bad. But now with like them saying Mitch is going to play every day, like how does Dom Canzone fit into all that? Because right now, like I don't see him playing and seeing as many at-bats as we all had projected to or thought about going into this offseason.
I think Haniger might be eased up quite a bit because the thought is that potentially Haniger and Canzone might be a platoon in right field. Yeah. So if there's more righties that are going to be throwing, then you'd assume that Canzone might be playing maybe even more than Haniger. Maybe you have Haniger coming off the bench a lot of the times in those certain situations where you really need him mm-hmm. to come through. Because otherwise it's going to be, you know, Luke Raley, and he's younger guy. He's like 29, 30, but healthier yeah. than Haniger so far to where he can be playing every day. And you can move Raley around and give other guys days off. And then you also have guys like Bliss coming up at second base. You've got Deloach that could come out in the outfield at some point. You've got Locklear. So there's other guys that can come and fill in certain spots. But yeah, I see Canzone having a pretty solid role. And just looking at his, I didn't know about him until the trade happened with the Diamondbacks. I didn't yeah. know his name. But then you look deeper into it and he's hit everywhere he's been.
Mm-hmm. I look at Dominic Canzone and I know that, you know, they, when he came over, they were like, oh, he's a first baseman outfielder, you know, or outfielder first baseman. I would really like to see him work on first base and just see what he can do defensively there. Because if you can platoon, not even necessarily platoon, but just have him be able to give a blow to Ty France at first base, along with, and the same with Luke Raley being able to, you know, have go over to first base as well. And maybe Dom Canzone goes and plays left field. I think that that rotating door of those three would be really like on a day where you're facing a tough righty, Justin Verlander's on the mound, you know, you can have Canzone and Raley in there at the same time. I think that's a really mm-hmm. good tandem. And yeah. I don't necessarily know his role has changed for sure. I don't necessarily know if it's because of the injury risk with this team, he is a great guy to have on your bench. You can put him at DH. Let's say Garver does unfortunately get injured or Mitch does unfortunately get injured. Canzone can fill both those spots. Yeah. And so he's a guy that, as long as you're not facing a lefty, I think should be getting, you know, playing time 3-4 times a week at least.
That's fair.
Which minor leaguer do you guys think is going to come up and have the biggest impact on the lineup?
In 2024 specifically?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the cop-out answer is Ryan Bliss. I feel like this is like the easy one. I really do like the idea of Locklear coming up next year just because, I mean, who knows what the situation will be. Gosh, I wish there was like a sneaky pick, you know, that we could just throw in there. But like Zach Deloach, you know. I don't know. Isaiah Guillen. He's going to come up.
Who?
Guillen? I don't even know how to say it. Oh. He's an outfielder.
Yeah.
He's just going to show up, be awful defensively, or maybe he's really good defensively. I don't even remember. He's just going to show up and just hit nukes for a month. You know, sure. Just, why not?
Why not? I think the easy answer is Bliss, just because like there's so much concern around Rojas and Urias, like how they all fit together. Because this is, I feel like it's just a similar situation with Cabbie. We're just well more aware of it because Ryan Bliss is a guy that is, I think, a little bit more notable in terms of like the prospect prowess there. So I think, I mean, again, easy answer, Bliss. Am I allowed to say Prelander Baroa? But no, you said the lineup. Yeah, I'm gonna roll with Bliss. Call it a day. It is lame. What do you want me to say? Jonathan Class A? I was hell bent on trading him. Now I'm gonna say he's gonna be the biggest producer from the minors. He's gonna come up and steal 50 bags for us. There you go.
Let's see you turn a new leaf. All right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Prelander's nasty. So if he can come up and manage his walks, he could be a solid contributor out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I'll also say Harry Ford. I mean, that's like not very realistic. But, I mean, you see what he did in the World Baseball Classic last year. And, you know, we have three catchers now with Cal Raleigh, Zavala, and then you got Mitch Garver, who hopefully never catches. but
yeah. keep him away from the gear.
But you know, Harry Ford coming up, he could be a wild card contributor, but not likely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I almost hope that doesn't happen just because I feel like he'd be rushed, kind of like Mike Zunino. You know what I mean? Like, he was someone that really needed some more time down the minors. Same with Dustin Ackley and whatnot, and all these guys, you know, getting thrown through the lineup or thrown into the lineup in after the first couple of years. I think that Harry Ford has a good chance in 2025 to see a late season call up. But yeah, I want him to finish developing because I think that he can be one of the best catchers in baseball if he continues on this path that he's been on. He didn't have the best year last year down in Everett, but still,
yeah,
nonetheless, I still, the potential with him is sky high.
I love this idea, Ian. The Mariners got to do a promotion at T-Mobile with Chipotle on the nights that Bryce Miller pitches. Free tacos if he gets 8Ks or more. I love that. Love that idea.
As a
Jake is going to be a big fan of that one too.
You know, as see it. Joe and I, as large gentlemen.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I'm lumping you into it. All right.
All right. Whatever.
Chipotle goes hard, and in stadium Chipotle, let me tell you, be so good.
Heck yeah, I'm all about it. And then Ricky says these comments go back to back, but Mariners going to have platoons in left field, right field, third base, and second base. Didn't we learn last year platoons aren't a guarantee if players don't have a history of doing it? Yes. And then also Stu says the world will not know peace until the Mariners are platoonless. So maybe at some point we'll see that.
Yeah, I think it's tough just because, you know, matchups. I mean, there are numbers to support matchups. I mean, they're there. And last year, I don't think the idea was for them to be a full-on platoon. Colton Wong became a platoon out of necessity because he had to, because he was just right. That bad. So I don't know. And like, I mean, you're running Tommy La Stella out there at DH. Really, last year, the platoons weren't necessarily the problem. You were forced into a platoon at second base because of the problems with Colton Wong. And then it was originally just going to be Pollock and Kelnick over there as a platoon. And hey, that, you know, went by the wayside when Kelnick started to produce. AJ Pollock was hardly ever playing, and it was actually kind of surprising to see him not play at all. So I don't know. I mean, the platoons in 2023 or 2024, I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking at maybe Urias and Rojas, and then maybe Mitch and Canzone. But overall, the guys that you have right now are slated in to basically play every night, in my opinion.
I think maybe Dylan Moore at second base with Rojas, maybe would be their plan. And I assumed that was their plan with Wong last year, would be to have Dylan Moore be the weak side platoon there, but he was injured at the beginning of the year, so didn't really have like a solid backup there to start the year. And then Wong just completely fell apart. So it's just, I don't know. The platoon word is a very scary word in the Mariners community, and I understand the fear around it. It's just, I agree with what you're saying, Colton. There's statistics that will back it up, but those same statistics are the ones that like the Ham Swaggerty group will use to say that he needs to be in the lineup every day, kind of a vibe. So it's just, you know, there's a little bit of give and take. There's the angel and the devil for the platoons for me.
I'm sure you guys have seen the graphic this offseason where it's the bowl of cereal and it's like, oops, yes. All the utility players. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Oops, all salary dumps.
Yeah, that's what it felt like at the start of the year.
All reclamation reliever projects the last like week and a half. Just anybody that they can pick up, they're just going to go nab.
Let's see here. Going through any other comments that we got here. Any other thoughts that you guys have on the state of the Mariners, their 2024 season?
Hot take. The Mariners are one game out of the division again, but take the top wild card spot in 2024
with 86 wins or 85 wins.
Well, that was where they're at right now. When they go out and add Joseph, all right,
then they add Bellinger.
All right, then they're.
I forgot the forward thinking process there. A hot take, huh? I mean, I said it, and I want that. I just want Dom Canzone to become an everyday player. Like, that was my resolution for him. And, you know, I don't know if it's a hot take, but Connor, you're high on him. I would love if Dom Canzone just figures out how to dial in what he was doing in the minors and do that in the majors and take over one of the spots in the outfield to allow more depth on this roster. Because if he steps up, the lineup and overall production on this team gets deeper 1 through 9 immensely.
Absolutely. So, I mean,
all-star, he's got Dom Canzone.
Yeah, you saw the light tower power that he had in that Orioles series, that first home run that he hit for the Mariners, the bat flip. It's just a matter of if he can sustain that for a season. So Stu Diston says Julio 40-40 season. That's probably happening.
Why not? Guy, Stu.
Heck yeah, Stu. What's your hot take, Connor? You got to have one somewhere.
My hot take. Well, last year it was that George Kirby was going to win the Cy Young. That's not really a hot take because, I mean, Kirby's a stud and he's on all the MLB rankings. He's like a top 10 pitcher now.
Yeah.
Let me think here. Let me look at this lineup. We got J.P. Crawford.
Like, who can I really, you know, put some faith into?
Well, I mean, I'll say Mitch Garver. I mean, I'll say that Mitch, that's not a hot take, is it?
No, I mean,
no, it's a hot take.
No, it's definitely, if you're going to say that he's going to play like 120, 130 games, he's never done it. So it
I'll say Mitch Garver plays 120 games and he's like a top four producer for the Mariners. Let's make it really hot.
Yeah.
Because J.P. Crawford, he led the American League walks. We'll see if he could do that again. That'd be amazing. Obviously, Julio is going to be the best player on the team. But Mitch Garver, if he can stay healthy, he's right up there, top three potential guys. And the video that I made on Mitch Garver, he's been like the best fastball hitter since the start of 2019, excluding the 2020 season. So,
Like the run value, right, on Savant.
Yeah, that's above like Yordan Alvarez, Aaron Judge, all these guys. So, if Mitch Garver can stay healthy, he could be one of the best guys on the team.
I like his better than ours, Joe.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, his goes a lot further than ours would go, I'd say. If we get Mitch Garver putting up like a 140, 150 WRC plus playing in 120 games, that the lineup itself is just going to start producing runs. Like it's just like it's a factory. Just going to keep going. Just going to keep like that gif of them just hitting the ball over and over again. It's just Mitch Garver at the plate. I'm in.
Last one, actually. Do you guys have a mock lineup that you guys think how things would slot out right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to go first, Joe?
I mean, I don't want to use the roster resource one, but it's going to be pretty close to that, what they've got on Fangraph. So it's going to be JP leading off, Julio batting second, Garver batting third, Cal batting fourth. And then I think if they want to be risky with it, they go Mitch five. And then I'm
which Mitch third?
I said Garver batting third.
Right. Oh, okay. Sorry. I missed that part. Okay.
I'm going to say Mitch Haniger. There you go. Batting five. Raley batting six. Ty batting seventh. Urias batting eighth. And then Rojas batting nine. The only thing I could see switching is five and seven. But that to me is like pretty like cut and dry, like what they'll be doing on a most night basis.
I think mine would be the same, but I might switch Mitch Haniger and Luke Raley. I might bat Raley five. Just, I mean, depending on matchups, let's just assume there's a righty on the mound. I'm putting Luke Raley at five, putting Mitch Haniger at six, especially if we're trying to, you know, kind of trying to even out the righty lefty a little bit. I know that Scott loves his matchups. So like if we're going JP, Julio, Cal, Mitch Garver, then Raley, then Mitch Haniger. And then who am I missing here?
Ty,
and then maybe even go Rojas and then Urias.
Okay.
If you really just want to mid-max it. But yeah, somewhere in that, I feel like is what we will see on opening day.
I agree with those. And honestly, the more that you go through the lineup, the more I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. It's just, like we mentioned, it's just those last couple bats potentially.
Yeah.
Ricky says Bryce Miller gets Cy Young votes and takes the next step with his new splitter. That's definitely potential also. Bryce Miller is going to be filthy this year.
This one looks nasty.
I think that, Connor, you have covered that splitter more than anyone, and it is so interesting to see, like, from your point of view, how that pitch has developed over, you know, over the past few months or however long you've been working on it, because you did some stuff with Driveline at some point, right?
Yeah, I went up to Driveline one time. Funny thing, it's like one of those learning experiences. I actually did a sit-down podcast, video podcast, with one of their head of something. Camera died.
No.
With the battery.
Oh, no.
And my other camera that I had set up that was basically, long story short, the main camera had all the audio. That died. Oh. It didn't save any of the video, any of the audio. So I get to the stadium. I pull up my computer, like ready to start editing this interview, and there's nothing there. But Bryce, I asked him about Bryce Miller's fastball, how it's unique. And because the spin rate, the spin efficiency, it's fighting gravity more than other pitches. You know, it has a higher spin rate. So it looks like it's coming in faster than it is, even though it's still at 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
And then factor in, basically, he didn't have any out pitches against the lefty. That's where the splitter really comes into play. Mm-hmm. And like with Gilbert last year, he learned the splitter because he was throwing a circle change. And with the circle change, a lot of the times you have to pronate. And that's twisting your arm, basically. And it's hard to control that pitch, that movement. So with the splitter, it's more like the fastball coming out to where they're able to stay behind it. And so it obviously worked for Gilbert. It's working for Bryce Miller, looks like. You know, Robbie Ray learned one last year. It's funny how the Mariners everyone learned a two-seamer the season before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come into 2023, everyone's learning a splitter. So yeah. We'll see if Kirby can teach the rest of the rotation a knuckleball.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone just throwing one knuckleball a game. You never know when
that'd
it's going to come.
So fun.
Right. That'd be amazing. Well, Colton and Joe, really appreciate your time. I want to respect your time. Thank you, everyone that tuned in. Make sure to go like and subscribe to the Mariner Mojo YouTube channel. They're close to 10,000. Make sure to subscribe to the Couch GM. Make sure to follow us across social medias. And thank you both again, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.